This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Guy Patterson III.
Thank you, Russ. Starting things off today, number 1, Tennessee baseball completed the sweep over Missouri over the weekend.
That they did. Waking up the bats in dramatic fashion. Had to grind on Friday. That was a tough one, but Max Ferguson, the timely home run.
He had a huge series.
Yeah, he did. I think 7 for 11 for all three games.
Yeah, and he had a home run in yesterday's game, too.
Yep. He's playing well right now, and we'll see if Tennessee can keep it going this weekend. Number 1, Arkansas comes to town.
All right, moving on. The bad news. Henry To'oto'o has transferred to Alabama.
That he has. Goodbye, Henry T. We hardly knew ye.
And like you had said earlier, it's the double whammy. It's not just that Tennessee loses a linebacker, well, but that he goes to
USC. Alabama. Ohio State. Like, I think a lot of people just felt they didn't mind that he transferred. They knew why he was transferring. But to choose Alabama is just...
Well, Florida was the other of his final thirds. We're... If you had to choose between Florida and Alabama.
Alabama.
You'd rather see him at Bama?
The rich can get richer.
Yeah.
I don't want him to go to
it's
Florida.
It's how I felt when Alabama played Georgia in the national championship. What's one more to them? I don't want Georgia to.
Yeah, if he'd gone to Florida, I definitely would have been calling for a harvest.
Yeah.
Really? See, I thought that the younger guys would rather see him at Bama because they hate Florida more, but I figured you would rather see him elsewhere.
I mean, I wanted him out of the SEC.
Good point. I do like really what Trey said, though, in that last phone call. The idea that, okay, well, when you look at Nick Saban, you definitely see that he's not, you know, waiting on any transfer rule to go into effect. If you think that Nick Saban is bringing in Hank T, it's likely because he feels like he can play next year. And obviously, when you think about that concept for Tennessee, like you guys had mentioned, but it also expands out more, some big opportunities, including Justin Powell in basketball, but also all these five guys that you've gotten for Tennessee since the spring game. So I thought that was interesting.
All right, shifting gears back to some good news. The Vols picked up another transfer, this one coming in late last night. Dejon Terry from Kansas has transferred to Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, talking about him with Trey, I think there's a lot of upside there, and it's one of those examples. I think we're going to see a lot more of this going forward where he's a guy that Tennessee probably wouldn't have taken out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to Kansas, and I think he weighed in at 370 pounds.
Correct.
And then has lost 60 pounds over 2 years.
I'm pretty sure they were on this kid, but it was too late.
They were sniffing around a little bit, but I don't know that they went hard in after him. But it's one of those situations where you don't – a lot of times a kid's that big, you don't know if he's going to do the work. That's a lot of weight to lose in a very short period of time. Not a lot of people can do that. It takes extreme dedication. And so let him go to Kansas. Mm-hmm. Let him go to Boise. Let him go, you know, wherever at a little step down from where you should be, where you want to be in a Power 5 conference. And if he does the work there, okay. Well, now we take him. He's already done the hard stuff. Now we just have to polish him up a little bit. So I think it's a good get for Tennessee.
I'm with you there, and we're talking about how he's a very raw talent and a very raw prospect, but when you actually go back to what his teammates were saying about him last year, I think that's where you really draw some positivity. For instance, Marcus Harris, a defensive end for Kansas, told 247, he said this, quote, "I feel like Dejon is one of the fastest learners on the team. He grasps all the information they throw at him. He applies that to the field. He makes it easier for me taking on double teams and stuff like that. He makes it easier for the defensive ends. I feel like he's going to be something special," end quote. So, I mean, man, of course that's going to help. We know that we have stronger, right, defensive ends, and I think maybe the interior. So, of course, it's going to help them out. It's going to help out Juwan Mitchell, Tennessee's new linebacker behind him. Getting a big guy right there who is so who does have the ability to learn on the fly.
Smart guy.
And retain a lot of information.
Smart guy.
Smart guy. That's always good.
Yeah. Better than a dumb guy.
All right, and
Lord knows we've had plenty of them.
Number
Unfortunately,
four.
They've been our coaches.
Yeah.
All right, number four, the last bit of good news. This might have gotten lost in the shuffle with all the news over the weekend, but the Vols picked up another commitment, a three-star tight end out of Cincinnati, Ohio, Brody Foley.
What a Cincinnati tight end name, too, Brody Foley. It's interesting. There's a couple of other tight ends that Tennessee might have had a good shot with, including a kid at Beach in the Mid-State, Jalen Hurd's alma mater, that has a Florida State offer that a lot of the local recruiting gurus were saying, Tennessee ought to take a look at this guy. But this is a dude that Golish identified early and clearly zeroed in and wanted. And it sounds like he's been basically a silent commitment for a long time, and they just decided to go public this weekend. He's 6'5", 6'6".
He's listed as 6'6", on 247.
Yeah. Big boy.
Well, they had a 6'6", long, skinny tight end at UCF this past year, who caught a bunch of balls for them. So, Golish has a type, right? He wants the long tight end. He's not so – Pruitt wanted the stout guy. He wanted the 6'4", 250 guy. Golish is going for the 6'6", 230 guy. And we'll see if it works out on down the road. But we lose Fant and Austin Pope off this year's team, so he'll be able to jump right in there. There might be some early opportunities for him. Thank you, Guy Patterson III. That is the Top 4 at 4, brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Time to go to the dentist. I know there's somebody listening right now. Hasn't been to the – I'll go. I'll go later on this year at some point. You've been saying that for a couple of years, right? It's been a couple of years since you've been to the dentist. Folks, do yourself a huge favor. Call our friends over at Knoxville Smiles, great locally owned and operated dental practice here in Knoxville. Dr. Steve Malone, been at it for a quarter century now, 25 years in business here in Knoxville. And he's built up Knoxville Smiles into the crown jewel of East Tennessee dentistry. See for yourself. Take the virtual tour of their facility online today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. And then give them a ring, 865-539-1776, and set up an appointment. Tell them we sent you. They'll take great care of you over there, Knoxville Smiles. You can make your appointment online, too, at the website, KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Our number, as we get set to go open lines here the rest of the hour, rest of the show, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. All right, let's start banging through these. We will begin with Martin. Good afternoon, Martin. How are you, sir?
Doing good.
Did you just Russell? Call me Brent? Do you think you're talking to Brent Hubbs right now, Martin? Is that what's happening?
No, I'm talking to Russell.
Yeah.
I don't call Brent Hubbs. I just listen every now and then to him.
Okay.
I listen to you quite a bit.
Thank you.
And how big is that Deshaun Terry out of Kansas?
He's a big one.
6'4", 320.
Wow.
Yes, and you ain't going to believe this, Russell.
That's four Rick Butlers.
Yeah.
Martin.
Yeah. All Russell, stacked together.
Yeah.
Russell.
Yes.
This is what I'm about to tell you.
All right.
The rumor's going around that Salter and Maller might be the two that leave, the two quarterbacks that leave.
Man, I could I could see that. I haven't heard that, Martin, but, I mean, that would make a little bit of sense because those guys have had the most off-the-field issues, right?
Yes. And what year is Terry?
You know, I don't know what year anyone is anymore
because
of COVID. So he was a redshirt freshman this past year at Kansas. And I read somewhere they said he has year to play three. But last year didn't count, right? So he should have 4 years.
Yeah, that really throws me off that last year doesn't count. But I know that, you know, he's got recorded statistics for both 2019 and 2020, 2020 being the main year that
he
broke out.
I heard somebody on the SEC Network a couple of weeks ago during one of the baseball games refer to somebody as a, quote, COVID sophomore. And I think that's good. No, I think that's going to be a term that we're going to have to deal with for the next 3 or 4 years until all of these kids matriculate because they all have an extra year. So,
hey, Brent.
Yes.
I mean, Russell.
Yes. You can call me Brent.
Listen, I'm not brown-nosing you.
Okay.
But you listen to me.
Okay.
When I want breaking news,
you come to the drive.
I listen to your show, son.
Yeah, you do, baby.
When I want breaking news about what goes on over the hill, I listen to your show.
You come over to the drive, don't you? I mean, it's, yeah. we put it out there.
Breaking news.
Breaking news on the drive. I think we are well known as East Tennessee's premier UT football breaking news source.
You sure are.
Damn straight.
Well, I appreciate you.
Thank
Russell.
You. Thank you, Martin. Appreciate
bye,
you.
Bye.
Martin, showing some love.
Nice things to say.
Yeah. Appears to think I'm Brent Hubbs half the time, but that's okay.
You think at the end there he was talking to Brent? Or you think he was talking to Russell?
I don't know. Maybe he's got Brent on the other line. That's okay. I like Brent Hubbs too. It's an honor. It's an honor to be confused for him. Who's next?
Philly.
Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Boys like Brent.
Not much. Not much. Jerry, how are you? Hey, doing well. Doing well.
You guys got Austin Price and Rob Lewis in there with you too, huh?
Oh, man, we have the full crew.
How's Bear and the Fabulous One doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, not too bad.
Good. Good. I can't believe it. Trey didn't have the latest breaking story about Tennessee playing Arizona in basketball next year. It's out in the last hour.
Wow. I mean, so much for the breaking news source. Phil's dropping the knowledge on me. We're playing – who's coaching there now? Do they even have a coach?
He's the lead assistant at Arizona. Gonzaga, Lloyd. I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they took that guy.
He's the one that recruited all them foreign players to – Gonzaga, so he's at Arizona now.
Mark Few's right hand, man. Got to go in there and clean up Sean Miller's mess.
Yeah, so like Phil was saying right there, Tennessee will be hosting Arizona, and that will be in 2022-23. And then it's also going to be a home-and-home.
Cool.
That's good. Next year, get to see Arizona. I don't think Arizona's ever played there, have they?
I don't know. I remember we opened up a season there in the late 90s. You remember that, Phil? That was Yarbrough's first game?
Yeah, we got smoked. I remember that.
That's been a minute. Have we played them in a tournament or anything like that through the years?
I think Don DeVoe played them way back in the day, but we hadn't played them much.
According to, it looks like, 247 Sports, the two teams last met in Albuquerque, New Mexico in that 1986 game, with 18th-ranked Arizona beating 9th-ranked Tennessee by 1 point.
In 86? No, we played them in 98, I believe, 1998.
Yeah, you're all burning Tony Harris was in that game. Yeah. So we lost that game too. So that's the way it is, I guess.
Well, they have a rich basketball tradition.
They do. They really do. Outside of UCLA, they're probably the biggest name out there on the West Coast in basketball, historically, wouldn't you say?
Best team west of the Mississippi besides UCLA?
Yeah.
Gonzaga.
Maybe, yeah, but Gonzaga of lately.
Well,
but, I mean,
Gonzaga still hadn't won anything, though.
It's true. It's true, GP3.
Gonzaga's kind of like the Georgia of football of NCAA basketball.
How many titles did Lute win? Just the one?
One. Beat Kentucky.
With Mike Bibby and Miles Simon.
Yeah.
It's a good
now
team.
Now the great Kentucky team they beat.
Yeah, in overtime, right?
Yeah.
Nazi Muhammad and – was Ron Mercer on that team? He was one and done, right?
Or yeah, Mercer was one and done.
That was 1997, I want to say, that game.
Yeah. I hear that BHH and Powell are both in town right now, getting ready for Tennessee basketball season.
You know, that it's interesting, Phil. Last year, so many screwy things about last year, right? But Rick Barnes, his number one thing that people say besides the recruiting is player development, right? He's the guy that coaches you up in the offseason, redoes a guy's jump shot, teaches a guy to play full court defense and all this stuff. Remember, they didn't get to do that last year. There was no June, July offseason open gym runs and stuff like that. And they'll get to do that this year. And you got to think that that's going to be a big help.
Oh, yeah. Preparation. That's Ray Barnes is great at that, getting, you know, summertime and getting the strength and conditioning going, I'd say they were lacking in that last year too.
Yeah, so it's good to have those guys on campus so early and going through workouts.
Is Jordan Anthony from Michigan, is that going to be the next grad transfer to come in here? Linebacker.
I've not heard that one. Oh, Phil, dropping knowledge here. So it's Jordan Anthony. Never trust a linebacker with two first names.
That's the rumors going on right now, so who knows?
So we got one more spot. I mean, I guess from just a sheer numbers standpoint, it would make sense to go get another linebacker.
Yeah, because I don't think there are any good defensive backs. Don't they have two defensive backs coming in as high school recruits, and one of them is pretty good?
They have two. Say that again now.
They got two of them that are coming in this summer, cornerbacks, don't they? One of them's from Florida. I know he's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you can play, if you're good, you can play as freshman in secondary.
Yeah, I want to say they signed two guys. Deshaun Rucker's the kid you're talking about from Florida. And then there was another corner we signed.
When there's JUCO corner? I don't know.
I'm blanking.
They need some help, though. They only got a handful coming in, though. They got everybody else over there. At least they've all been trickled out of the program. And, you know, like Henry T and all of them.
Yeah.
Is it true that Alabama's got – you include Henry T on – they got 28 people on their – I thought 25 was a limit in football. Does Alabama
– Yeah, I've noticed. I saw that, too. Saban's still able to somehow use fuzzy math to be able to sign, like, I think he brought in like 27 and then two transfers last year.
And then Tennessee is playing about 10 below the scholarship level.
Absolutely.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you've been on self-imposed probation for 10 years now, Phil.
Yeah, now we're going to get on real probation. That's even more fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's hilarious.
All right, guys, y'all hang in there.
Christian Charles was the other DB we signed last year, Christian Charles and Deshaun Rucker. Hopefully they pan out. Man, we need some help back there for sure. So Jordan Anthony, according to the at Talkin' Vols pod, which is where I go for all my UT news.
Very nice.
Is a former five-star linebacker. Wants to be in Knoxville, says at Talkin' Vols pod. We had the privilege to speak with him today and found out, wow, they had the scoop. They got the scoop over there. It's a YouTube video. I can't watch a YouTube video on there. They got the graphic. It says, quote, I want to come to Tennessee. Now, he might just be talking about a visit. Former five-star linebacker? That do anything for anybody?
That'll get my attention, certainly.
Perk up a little bit. The last five-star we got transfer from Michigan, Aubrey Solomon, did not really work out that great.
No.
Of course, he weighed like 380 pounds last year, but
yes, he did.
You know, even going back to, you asked this question to Trey, right? And you were kind of mentioning a couple of transfer players throughout the years. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but were those kind of, I don't want to say classes because that's not the right word, but were they a part of big groups that kind of came to Tennessee? Because I think that's how we're kind of judging, or I think that's at least how you should judge these incoming players, is that Tennessee's getting a crop of players coming in to help this team. You know, for instance, Aubrey Solomon, he might have not done too much on his own, you know, but was he also a part of a group of five or six notable players that can all come in and half affect defense?
He wasn't, but I think this is where the game is changing as far as recruiting is. It used to be, why did Aubrey Solomon come here? He's a five-star. Why would a five-star go to Michigan and leave? Well, it didn't work out there. Something went wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's with him. I know he had a knee situation. Was it just injury? Was there something else going on there off the field? Did he have trouble adjusting to the college game? I don't know. But in the past, you always looked at a transfer with, well, why would he be leaving? If you're leaving a school and you're sitting out a year to transfer, then something screwy must have gone on, right? But I don't think it's going to be that way anymore, because you don't have to sit out a year, and it's almost kind of in vogue. You go somewhere, it doesn't work out, coach leaves, You don't like the campus, have some trouble in school, you're homesick, whatever.
Yeah.
You just get a do-over. And so I think a lot of people are going to take advantage of that, and I think it's just it's going to change everything because you're going to have guys that, first of all, leave your program that you get out of high school that don't like it for whatever reason, like we just discussed. But then you're also going to have guys that you're able to go out there and get because of the same reason. So it's really strange, man. College football, free agency. Let's take a quick time out. More of your phone calls when we continue. It's The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 865-546-8200. Don is next. Good afternoon, Don.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
I've been all the way over to Rock Hill, South Carolina, and coming back into Sweetwater.
Oh, man, that's you did the whole I-26 thing, huh?
Yeah, going to be about 10 and a half hours, I'd say, when I pull in. Try to help you out on some of these transfer deals you've been talking about. Even though the kid from Kansas had stats in 2 years, he only played two games, one of them. So he redshirted that year. Last year was free. He has 4 years to play at UT.
Okay.
I can't believe that y'all didn't already know about the Anthony kid from Michigan. He was all over the internet all weekend. Former five-star. And he just thinks he wants to get involved. I'm assuming maybe our quarterback transfer has been telling him good stuff.
Mm. We've tapped that Michigan pipeline between Milton, this kid, and Aubrey Solomon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, a lot of these Southern kids, they go up there. And I know you spend the winter up there in Michigan, you'd be ready to come home. That place is I've never lived farther north than Indiana, and it was cold enough. It borders Michigan up north part, and I was up there that area during the winter time when I lived in Indiana. But
Don, I actually lived in Ann Arbor for 2 years when I was but a wee lad, as they say, and really don't remember much of anything except snow. A lot of snow.
Well,
man.
I've got a pastor friend that's got a son that went there. He had twins, grandsons. He had twins. One went to UT and one went to Michigan. Figure that out. Daddy's an Alabama fan.
Man, so the similarities between the programs, it really is remarkable. Even back in the 90s when both were really good, and I mean, they've been a little bit better off than we have here of late, but not by much.
Yeah, well, they tried us one time in history on the field, and you saw what happened.
Yeah, they did get smoked.
I would love to. After that game, I was reading Michigan on papers online. I remember one column from Detroit, News Free Press or whatever it's called. I said, well, people have been talking about this. This is the first time in 100 years they play, and Michigan is not looking for a rematch anytime soon.
Jason Witten took that short pass from Clausen and outrun their entire team 80 yards. Oh, when you got their running backs couldn't run with our tight ends. I mean, man, we had some team speed back in the day.
Yep, that was the thing, man. That was the thing. You guys talking, I couldn't get in, then I lost the call when you went to me. I was down around Cleveland, Tennessee, Friday, but Hens was bemoaning the fact that, the Golden Crown, you couldn't get those. All you got to do is go to Sevierville West. It's just a little drive.
They still got Golden Corral up there? Okay.
Yeah, there, and Sevierville and Pigeon Forge both got them, but they did last time I was through there a few days ago. And also, they have a Western Sizzling.
Ooh.
Right there, and it's they're on, the Golden Crown and Western Set. That's all the same company. So you can get the same roast.
The problem for me, Don, is I've the next bad buffet I attend will be my first, but I can't
I
can't
get
my
them now.
can't get my wife to go with me, man. Something about
my wife
little,
don't like buffets.
They just can't appreciate the finer things like us men of the world can.
Well, I used to work for with a guy in West Knoxville in the car business, and I always teased him. I said, you know, most people take quality over quantity, but not with him. He didn't care where he got it, as long as there's a lot of it. But if you want to try a little something different in the bread line, there's a place called Feasters on Teasters, and it's inside this Biblical Times Theater building. And they have a lot of unique dishes, Native Indian theme. But, man, they got Indian fried bread that's
really
good. And it's called Feasters on Teasters. It's hard to miss right on the parkway. There's a theater there called the Biblical Times Theater. It's been there for several years. And the restaurant's inside that theater building. They had just remodeled it to make it look sort of like Jerusalem, I guess you'd say, or that
Feasters
kind of
on Teasters. I'm looking at it. They got
look it up.
Good looking rolls there. A lot of Native American kind of theme happening there. Okay. What do you think, Barry? You up for a trip to Feasters on Teasters? We could be there in 50 minutes, according to maps.
Nah, I don't need buffets.
Maybe take a couple of other things. You guys like fried okra?
Sure. It's a southern delicacy.
They bring all that bread, the homemade potato chips.
We're going.
And homemade okra, and they'll bring out okra and chips as long as you want it.
We're going. Feasters on Teasters. What do you think, Reek? You go with me?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Reek's in. GP3, Feasters on Teasters.
I can't. That'll mess up my diet.
Oh, that'll mess up my... You don't take a cheat day?
I can't. Not for another 37 days.
Oh, my God.
I started my diet the day after I went up there, which was on my anniversary.
You started a diet after Feasters.
I packed it on, and then I went down to Low T Center the next day and weighed in. Oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. And I immediately went on a carb diet, and I've dropped 12 pounds since then. But
there you go.
But now, it's not the cheapest place you'll find but all the food's good. But it's not you're not like going to Chesapeake's, but, you know, it's not Texas Roadhouse price either. I guess like if you get a steak or something. But it's usually really quiet. It's not overcrowded. You can normally walk in anytime. And the hardest thing I had is most of the servers speak. I can't figure out because they're wearing masks if it's Cajun, Indian. I'm not sure. I've done a lot of – both times I've been there, I've done a lot of pointing. But if you look at the reviews on it, and like any place, it's good and bad. But if people like it, they really like it. So –
Well, Don, we appreciate the buffet Rex, man. Thanks for chiming in.
That's not a Feasters on Teasers is not a buffet, but they will bring you all you want. They'll bring it to you. You don't go get in line.
Oh, all right, man. Appreciate it. We're gonna get some other folks in here. Thank you, Don. Let's get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here next. Good afternoon, TJ.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Not much. Doing well. Thank you.
Hey, so I don't know if you saw Mark Emmert said that the whole likeness thing is going to go into effect in July. My question is, if the players do start getting paid in college, do we see a hike in ticket sales or ticket prices?
I mean, perhaps. I mean, it's a supply and demand thing. If people aren't paying whatever they're charging now, are they going to pay a little more? How many people is that going to run off? So, I don't know. I mean, it's not necessarily going to be an expense to the athletics department other than marketing it towards recruits, which I wouldn't think would be that much. I mean, the expense is going to be to the local companies, right, that are doing business with these kids.
Right. And I think that college athletics in general with this is going to change dramatically. And I think some people don't realize that because, for instance, in basketball, the Kentuckys, the Dukes, the North Carolinas, they're going to get stronger. In football, even the Tennessees with I mean, historically a power program, Tennessee, Alabama, Oklahoma, they're going to get stronger. And I think we're going to see, especially with this new transfer rule, where can I get the most money out of ads, marketing, likeness? So you're going to basically see an NCAA free agency happen here in the next year or two.
Yeah, I mean, we're already seeing it. It's already happening. This is just the prelude. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't think that any – even those of us that follow it closely and know it's coming, I don't think any of us know what it's actually going to look like when it actually gets here as far as these players endorsing local businesses and what effect that's going to have on the recruiting game and you know, how do you handle that if you're – I'll say this, for Tennessee, Josh Heupel, I feel like, is going to be much better equipped to handle the needs of these players because it's going to take time, man. I don't – have you ever shot a TV commercial? It takes a while. Like, it takes several hours. So are you going to be able to let your star players go off campus to record commercials and tend to their duties with their endorsers, or are you going to give them that time during the season? I can't see a guy like Jeremy Pruitt being very okay with that. I can't see a guy like Nick Saban being very okay with that. Dabo Swinney, but they're going to have to be if they want those players to come.
Yeah, I think you really get to an interesting point there. A lot of people might have kind of an initial idea that this is as easy as just setting up a booth right on campus and signing autographs, and that's how quickly it is. But you're right, like, this can go even bigger, and it's only going to continue to snowball. It's going to be really fascinating to see how it works itself into the already current ways of college football.
It's definitely going to be a wild one. That's for sure. Hey, and also, I wanted to give a shout-out to you guys. You know, even though I'm a Kentucky fan, I love listening to you guys, not for the Tennessee news, but you guys are very entertaining. Keep doing what you're doing. Love the show.
Thank you, TJ. Appreciate you too, bud. 865-546-8200, your number if you want to get on the show. A couple lines available for the first time this afternoon. Go ahead and take a shot. The G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. Speaking of Cruton, see where Arch Manning has released what? A top five? Or not a top five, but
where he's going to visit this summer.
Yeah. And the teams that have caught his eye.
And we have not caught his eye enough to warrant a visit.
No.
He must not have watched his uncle's college tapes, because I don't even know if he knows we exist. We are on none of his lists.
Well, hold on now. So I understand why he would be going to see four of these places. Clemson, Texas, Alabama, and Georgia. All right. Uh-huh. All right. SMU?
Pony up.
You got visit locked in. You Dallas guys in SMU, man. You tickle me. He does realize that they haven't been relevant in 40 years, right?
They're more relevant than we are right now.
SMU?
They win more.
They were ranked, like, they were ranked 2 years
good,
ago.
They were ranked for a good part of the season last year.
Really?
Yeah.
So some dude just went there. Who's their coach?
And I think they have a 5-star quarterback coming in next year.
Oh, so their current – the one from last year, I believe, was still the one of the Texas transfers. I don't know who their coach is. But
we were going to hire dumbass Chad Morris. John Curry's in there interviewing him in a hotel room when he got a phone call.
Oh, it's
said
Sonny
he was about
Dykes.
To get fired.
Sonny Dykes is their coach.
Oh, another one.
Yeah.
That was the guy that
– yep.
Danny No-Nugs wanted to talk to.
Yeah, it is.
We vetoed it. Oh, man.
Oh, Sonny Dykes. It was Shane Bouchel. That was their quarterback, too. So they're taking leftovers, right,
is he
that Texas
to
didn't
Steve
want.
Steve Bouchel?
Probably.
Former Cubs third baseman.
Yeah, they
haven't heard that name before.
They got the fifth best quarterback in the nation coming in as a freshman this year.
Sonny Dykes.
Sonny Dykes.
Could we have talked ourselves into Sonny Dykes?
We talk ourselves into anything.
We didn't talk ourselves into Shiano. And so people are vehemently opposed to Sonny Dykes. I know it's been 3 months and we've forgotten. But when that was being kicked around, this is one of the guys that Danny White's going to talk to. People kept throwing that out there. And it was like, no, no way. I will not. I will renounce my fanship if they hire Sonny freaking Dykes. Hold on. Let me see those total offense stats. Oh, yeah. They're pretty good. No, I'm not doing it.
But look at the conference.
530 yards a game, man. That's pretty good. No. Not hiring Sonny Dykes. Don't do it, Danny No Nugs. Don't do it. They were ranked for a minute this past year, SMU. Maybe it could work. No. The number one quarterback in the class of 2023, Arch Manning, has said he's got June visits locked in with Clemson, SMU, Texas, Alabama, Georgia. Also wants to check out Stanford, USC, Ohio State, North Carolina, Virginia, and others. Maybe we're one of the others.
Oh, yeah. We're lumped in there with all the rest of the others.
He wants to check us out.
Russell, in anything in your life, have you wanted to be a part of the others?
Well, listen. He just finished his sophomore year, right? So this is going to be his junior year of high school.
Right.
The timetable for these guys to commit is now the spring before their senior years, right? We just got our guy, Taven Jackson, Ty Simpson committed a couple of months ago. That's where the quarterbacks are usually the first dominoes in the class to fall. So, and I think I read somewhere, he's talked to Heupel, right? They've chatted. He hasn't visited or anything. So, if you're Heupel, all you can do is shoot your shot.
Yeah.
You give him a phone call, and you've got an in there because of Peyton. It doesn't mean that he's a lock to come here, obviously. But he'll take our phone call, right?
Yeah.
That's all you can do. Get your foot in the door and just say, hey, watch us, man. Watch us. I know we're going through some stuff. I know you know all about us, and you've probably been here before. You at least know about Uncle Peyton in Tennessee. So just watch us this year. And listen, if we can go out there and put up 500-plus yards a game and score 40 points a game and show some progress out there, and we can – get some resolution, some clarity to the NCAA thing. If that happens before the end of the year, maybe you got a shot. Maybe you got a shot. A long shot, but a shot nonetheless.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, obviously it's going to be one of the highest followed recruits, you know, of this era, of this generation, certainly here at Tennessee. It's going to be fascinating to see how it goes on, but starting from a little bit behind the eight ball, it looks like, as it's starting to get rolling.
Anybody surprised that Ole Miss isn't on that list?
We're just assuming that
he knows so much about them and everything. Ole Miss, LSU, Tennessee, I mean, Duke, the four schools with quote-unquote Manning ties, not on there.
Maybe he does want to pull a Peyton, though.
Just do his
say,
own thing.
You know what? If I go to any of those four, it's the first thing that's going to be named about me. You know, I wonder if it's hard for a kid to walk into Neyland Stadium to look up and to see
his
Peyton.
Family's name.
Yeah,
up there.
Like, you always know that no matter how you do, that is going to be what you are compared to. Now, for some kids, right, they use that as motivation. I don't think there's a right and a wrong way, but it's fascinating to see what they do. I'll be totally honest. If this was me, I would be, I think, a little bit overwhelmed maybe by those expectations, right? Throwing a pass, but seeing Peyton's name up there and knowing that 102,000 people in here, they love him more than almost anything when it comes to Tennessee football. So I find that really interesting to see which way it goes.
Appreciate the phone call from TJ, the Kentucky fan. I'm glad that he was able to muster the strength to call. It was a rough week for the state of Kentucky. We'll tell you more about that in football and horse racing news When we continue, stay with us. It's The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
So you're watching. Additional testing is planned after Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit failed a post-race drug test, throwing the horse's victory at Churchill Downs earlier this month into doubt. Now, you all know my long stance on horse racing at the Kentucky Derby in particular.
You think it's barbaric?
Well, I mean, this is just another brick in the wall. The horses are on drugs now. They're drugging the horses. We shouldn't be surprised.
Not with this guy. I mean, it's like the fifth time he's been busted.
You yeah, we shouldn't be surprised.
Bama Bob Baffert.
Bama Bob revealing the test results yesterday, saying the three-year-old colt tested positive for elevated levels of betamethasone, which is an anti-inflammatory corticosteroid and sometimes used to relieve joint pain in horses.
That's a pretty big one from what I understand.
So
it's a methazone.
They're going to.
But the weird thing is that it wasn't. It's something where it's not an illegal substance. It's not an officially banned substance, but the horse cannot test positive for it within, I believe it is 14 days of the race, or then obviously immediately after. What a strange situation.
Look, does it surprise anybody that the horses are being drugged up? My thing is, they're probably all drugged up, right?
Yeah.
You don't get a horse into the Kentucky Derby without having it scientifically engineered to be amongst the fastest horses.
Especially
not
one you picked up for a grand on some farm on the way to the track.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, it's like when they busted Lance Armstrong racing in. Lance Armstrong is widely looked at as a steroid cheat. He's a bad guy and a total fraud. But what nobody else talks about is one of those years that they took away his Tour de France, they had to go all the way down to the 19th place finisher to find somebody that was actually clean. So what are we talking about here? It's a dirty sport.
Yeah, it's so crazy to think, like, you know, the Kentucky Derby champion comes down with a PED thing. What if Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady after the Super Bowl comes down with the same thing? Like, it's so much grander of a story. But what you're saying, when maybe it's been weaved into the fabric of the sport over time and maybe people aren't as surprised by it.
I just think it's weaved into the fabric of sport, period. I think everything's dirty, man.
Yeah.
I just think you have to view it like that because nobody has the capacity to be outraged every time. So, oh my God, you're telling me that Brock Lesnar was using steroids? I am shocked. This is an out. Fighting sports is probably the biggest one, too. I mean, it's just a dirty sport. All of those dudes are juiced.
Nah, it's football. Guarantee you.
All of them.
Yeah.
I mean, would it surprise anybody to learn that basketball players?
No.
You don't even. The thing about it is, you can't even say, oh, look at that guy. Look at that guy. Yeah, it doesn't surprise anybody that Brock Lesnar is juicing. Would it surprise you that Roger Clemens was?
Yeah, because he was still throwing heat at age 40.
He doesn't look like a bronzed Adonis. He doesn't look like he's chiseled out of granite or anything, but he's still
juicing.
We
all knew it.
So it's just, yeah, okay.
Your arm doesn't get stronger from 35 to 40 in Major League Baseball if you're a pitcher.
The Kentucky Derby winner was juicing. That's shocking. Dude. What my question is, why does anybody care? Why does anybody care? You think it's a clean race? You think it's a clean sport? It's not.
Just because money's involved, probably. It's one of the biggest betting events.
I guess so.
Interesting, yeah. I don't know if you heard it earlier, but did you hear a conversation about who Bob Baffert looks like?
I did not.
Have you seen?
I would not know him if he walked in the studio right now.
Have you seen Eastbound and Down?
No, I don't think he has. A
couple episodes, yeah.
Has he?
Have you seen Will Ferrell's character, Ashley Schaefer?
Yeah.
Okay, that's exactly who he looks like. Okay.
Ashley Schaefer, BMW.
Oh, yeah.
Let
okay,
me show
so,
you.
Yeah, you will.
I've seen that
you
guy.
You will.
The other guy.
I mean, Powers. Spot on.
The other guy I would say that he bears a striking resemblance to is Jay Peterman from Seinfeld.
A little bit.
Got a little of the Silver Fox thing happening.
It's very much like the white Santa Claus, long long combed hair. Looks a little bit of not sketchy, but
sleazy.
Yeah, sleazy. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, okay.
He's got some under operations going on somewhere.
This is a guy I don't want to. I'm not signing anything this guy hands me, because no. I will inevitably end up broke and or in court.
You're like, hey, you know this guy? It's the guy that's juicing his horse. Like that's this kind of guy. It's the shady thing.
Yeah, I mean it's. You got to have a lot of money to want to invest in racehorses. First of all, I can't imagine that many of the. What is the percentage of racehorses that actually deliver a profit to their owners? It's got to be minuscule, right? So, I don't even know who approaches it. Hey, man, my name is Bob Baffert, and I look like Will Ferrell's character from Eastbound and Down. Would you like to go in on a racehorse with me? How much? That'll be $1 million. Okay, let's do it. Let's do it, man.
I mean, this one wasn't.
Let's just set $1 million on fire.
They paid $1,000 for this horse.
Even $1,000 to me would be too much to go in. I guess if I were, again, this is not my... This is not my circle of friends, but the racehorsing thing has always seemed super shady. So, yeah, no surprise there.
There is a – have you heard about this rumor that's kind of going around, though, with the whole cough medicine and the horse thing?
No, I've missed that one.
It's not a rumor.
Is this – okay.
This is something that Baffert said today.
Okay, there you go then. So there's a big kind of continuation in the story, though, that that this failed drug test was the result – of a groom taking cough medicine and then taking a leak on the hay in the horse's stall, which the horse ate.
That's beautiful.
And then that
is awesome.
That is the result of this failed drug test.
Oh, my God, I love this guy. That's so awesome, man.
So here we go. Baffert says that one test issue was created by a groom urinating in the stall after the groom had been taking cough medicine. Horse ate some of the hay. Ho-ho.
It's the best... steroid excuse I've ever heard. And we've heard them all now. But that takes the taco,
this
man.
Probably finalizes the list, right? Like, yeah, how much crazier do you get than that?
It was in a supplement I was taking. I was just walking through GNC, and the guy said, here, take one of these. I said, okay, I'll test anything. And the next thing I know, I tested positive. He's like, yeah, whatever, dude.
Well, we had this guy, and he, you know, he took a leak in the stall, and it got on the hay, and then the horse ate the hay. And so really, he's just on cough medicine. He's on some Vicks cough medicine.
Man.
Who cares? Give him the title.
That's
awesome.
I mean,
could you imagine whipping out and peeing in $1 million racehorse's hay that they're going to
eat? Who's taking a leak in the Kentucky Derby horse's stall?
You don't. I mean, you might do it out back behind the barn, but you... You're not
sad
peeing
fact
in
of the
food.
Matter is that horse's pee is worth more than your pee. So don't be tainting the horse's hay with your subpar urine.
Yeah, with your cough medicine riddled urine.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
You've been robo tripping all weekend, and now you're going to go and take a whiz in the horse stall.
Tripping.
What are you doing? What are you doing, man?
You're robo tripping. You're up to no good.
What a story.
Meanwhile, across the state in Kentucky, Wildcats wide receiver Jovan Booknight arrested and charged with DUI Saturday. Oh, no.
Is that wide receiver or wide receiver coach?
Wide receiver coach.
Okay, yeah.
Booknight also charged with possession of an open alcoholic beverage in a vehicle and driving 26 miles per hour or more over the speed limit. What are you doing, man? He's got the can open.
And he's speeding.
Scheduled to appear in court Friday, Kentucky is aware of the situation with Booknight and is handling the situation internally, according to ESPN. Boy, they've learned, they've got it going up there in Kentucky. I'll give it to them, man.
They had a lot of things happening. A
couple of years ago, Kentucky might have just fired the guy on the spot. Now they're handling it internally. Welcome to the big time, Kentucky. They're figuring out how to do this stuff, finally. Wow. 37-year-old Booknight was hired March 2020, I guess a year ago, after one season as receivers coach at Oregon. He'd previously served as an assistant at Texas Tech and Utah State. So this guy is climbing the ladder. He must be a hell of a recruiter. They don't fire him for a DUI, driving 26 miles per hour over the speed limit with an open bottle in the car.
Open can of Pabst.
Well, that'll do it. Hour number two. We got another 60 solid minutes coming your way on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.